everyone. We're back to our podcast. Today, we're diving into the transformative approach shaping the future of work, the skill-based organization. What does it mean to build an organization that prioritizes skills over traditional roles? And how can businesses unlock their full potential by embracing this model? Today, I will be joined by my colleague, Asaf Jacoby, Head of HR Ops at Amdocs. Asaf has become the Amdocs skills evangelist, and this is why I've asked him to join me today. Hi, Asaf. Happy to have you here.
Thanks, Yael, and welcome, Sachit. Sachit is a seasoned product leader and entrepreneur with expertise in scaling businesses, building cutting-edge products, and driving growth across industries. With a career spanning Silicon Valley, global markets, and multiple sectors, Sachit brings a wealth of experience in leveraging AI to make talent decisions smarter and more equitable. And on top of it, partner and a friend.
Asaf, it's good to see you. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
I think we'll soon hear more about Sachit's career as well from his perspective, right? Okay, but before we begin with Sachit, Asaf, would you like to talk a little bit about what a skill-based organization is?
Of course. So I believe nowadays business require more flexibility to adapt to fast-changing business changes. Static jobs aren't keep up with the dynamic nature of today's work, where people with different skills might be needed for different projects very quickly. Luckily, AI technology gave us the opportunity to manage at the skill level. So AI has the advantage of analyzing data in higher resolution. So when we as humans look at jobs, AI can identify skills. When we mean project, AI can easily operate at task level. It means that we as an organization are moving from jobs, from well-organized jobs and project-based organization to a more fluid structure of skills and tasks, where skills is the new coin that drives career and business. But I guess there is no one better to describe it rather than Sachit. So, Sachit, can you start by sharing a bit about your professional journey, what led you to Eightfold and AI, and how has your career prepared you to tackle challenges in the talent and the workforce space?
Yeah, so I basically spent a good chunk of my career in the employment sector, right? So about a decade ago, I spent basically 5 years at LinkedIn, effectively at a time when it was growing, and it grew from a few hundred people at the time to 15,000 people in the 5 years that I spent there. And I saw a lot of transformation happening, right? There was a lot of excitement about social media at the time, particularly when it came to professional networking. And I just saw the transformative power of the technology at the time, basically helping corporations understand what the people were actually doing. And one of the things that I heard around that time from many large corporations and the CHROs that they represented was that many companies didn't have an understanding of what their people were capable of. So they would come to LinkedIn and they would say, hey, help us understand the skills of our people. Help us understand what we can actually do with this talent that we have. Now, interestingly, that is a problem that LinkedIn obviously didn't solve in a very deep fashion for corporations back then. And it's created opportunities for other companies to basically, invest in. I've spent a chunk of my career in, I would say, many different spaces. And I've worked in, obviously, big tech. I've worked at startups. And along the way, I went through a journey where I founded a company. That company ended up at Uber through an acquisition. And I got a front row seat into seeing how transformation can basically be done right or be done wrong, given that context. So just for reference, I was at Uber during the pandemic. So in 2020, I saw the rapid transformation of a company at a scale that typically does not happen in a normal period. So specifically, what was happening then was Uber, the rides business, was completely being shut down all across the world during the pandemic.
That's when Uber Eats started, no?
Yeah, Uber Eats had been around, but it was a small business at the time. And overnight, we saw a situation where one business basically ended up plummeting and the other business taking off and going from like under 10% of our revenue to over 80%, right? Now, that's a transformation that sometimes it can take decades for a company at that scale to change that in that dramatic fashion. But we saw that actually happen within a week. And that is kind of what helped me realize the true transformative power of skills and basically AI associated with skills, right? Which is a company at that scale trying to make these decisions without that tech is an insanely difficult thing to achieve. And so effectively 5 years ago, I came to Eightfold recognizing just the transformative power of AI applied to the employment sector, AI applied to effectively helping people realize what their core capabilities are and helping companies realize how this talent could be deployed in the right fashion. And in the last few years, I've had the fortune of working with many of the largest companies on the planet, right? And obviously, it's been a pleasure working with Asaf and Amdocs because we've done a lot of things together over the last few years. So excited to be on your show and excited to contribute to this discussion.
Amazing, Sachit. And I love the way you said that you are looking to understand or to know what people potentially are capable of. And I think this is also for us, it was one of the key pillars of making sure that we unleash the potential of our people that are maybe constrained by job hierarchies. But when you look at a skill-based organization and the concept, what excites you the most?
What's interesting about it is that the historical, I would say, organizational structure that many companies adopted, right, in the last, I would say, 20 or 30 years has been one that is based on the competency models, right? Which is you define organizations in a hierarchical fashion with job families. You built out competency models. Effectively, the precision of the competencies was very precise for every job function. And it was
very tedious to create, by the way, very tedious.
Yes, we've heard of situations where, like from our customers, where sometimes the efforts took 5 years to actually bring into life. And by the time that they came to life, the world had already moved on.
Yes.
This problem has existed for a long time, right? But I would say in the last few years, the advent of AI when it comes to skills basically made it possible to look at these competency models in a completely different way, which is if you think of skills as the building block, you now can sort of see different job functions in a way where instead of these very detailed competencies that do not translate from one job function to another, you can basically look at it as effectively these common skills that exist between these different job families. And I think that was the exciting part, right? Which is, if you think back to the pandemic, a pre-company had, similar to the Uber example I provided, had to try and figure out how to move people to the right problems, right? Given the new world that existed. And I think that's a great example of a place where having these understanding of these commonalities between jobs, which skills provide, can really help a company chart the right path towards their future. And I think that's simply the concept, right? That got me really excited about, you know, why AI could actually solve a problem in this domain.
Now, it sounds very logical. And when you are saying it, it sounds so easy. So why not to adopt it, right? Everyone will adopt it, but we understand that it's not so easy and we experience some challenges. What do you see when companies are trying to implement and transform to a skill-based organization as their main challenge?
Yeah, so what I would say, right, is that this field is still nascent in the sense that while many CHROs and corporations have been talking about the skills-based organization, the best practices when it comes to solving the problem in a unique fashion for the company and the culture of the company that, you know, you're solving for is still a very difficult thing to achieve, right? So I think a lot of companies get stuck between what is the precision at which they need to operate, right? Should they operate at the precision of a job family? Should they operate at the precision of an individual? And I think a lot of these choices can have dramatic effects in terms of figuring out how to actually make build the right structure. And so just for example, right? If you try to map out the, let's say 50 skills per individual versus 5 skills per individual, the impact that you're going to see is dramatically different, right? The choice there may be completely dependent on the nature of the business that you run. And today, what I would say is most CHROs do not have a playbook on best practices on how to tackle this problem at their companies. So I think what has been happening is the technical capabilities are there, but the best practices in this, you know, in this particular domain are still being developed. That's what I've seen, in working with many companies in our portfolio.
And do you find that companies tend to map the technical, right? Because that is probably something that the more professional ones, What about the power skills, the ones that are maybe less apparent, people less speak about them, right? They're the unknown.
I have seen that there is more of a focus on hard skills versus soft skills. But you know what's really interesting is that AI is capable of mapping both of these things, right? And so we have seen moves in certain domains, like, for example, in the domains that serve like executive recruiting or in the domains that serve basically executive talent, where the soft skills are way more important. And so I agree that most corporations still look at it from the hard skill perspective because those are the ones that are more tangible and more easy to understand. And I think that is, you know, in my opinion, a mistake, right? You got to look at it holistically across all skills.
So Eightfold AI is a market leader in this landscape, I guess. Can you help the audience to understand how you can help them identify and match skills with opportunities? And maybe you can give example for me some of your successful implementations.
Yeah. So the way to think about it is that every organization, right, has a lot of data on its talent, right? And that talent can be candidates, it can be employees, it can be, you know, basically contractors that you have worked with. It can be lots of different personas that you deal with as an HR organization. Now, typically, most of this data sits in siloed systems. So you might have an applicant tracking system for your candidates. You might have an HRIS that stores a lot of data about your employees. One of the things that has been very difficult for corporations to understand is, holistically, how do you solve a problem when a new situation arises at the company? So the right way to solve a problem at times may be to basically take talent that exists in one part of the organization and deploy it somewhere else. It may be to, you know, hire from the external environment a new employee that can basically solve a problem in a unique fashion. Or it might actually be to contract and basically bring in a contractor that can quickly solve the problem, right? One of the challenges that has always existed is that most corporations treat these as silos. And so you end up in a situation where basically the part of the organization making the decision doesn't have the full context. And that was basically the problem that Eightfold was invented to solve, right? We built something called a talent intelligence platform that provides a unified layer looking into all these different systems, brings in the context of the external environment in terms of how skills and other things are evolving broadly in the market, and applies this in a way where you now have this holistic picture on your talent. And then that gives you the ability to then decide what is the right lever to pull when a new situation develops. So that is broadly the category we operate in. Just to give you an example of a company in our portfolio that has been using this at scale, we have a telecommunications company operating out of Europe that went through quite a dramatic change in their business cycle, right? There were parts of their business, and they're a very complex company operating in over 20 different geographies and have tens of thousands of employees at scale. So they were going through a situation where one of their markets was basically had gone through regulatory changes. It was a situation where they needed to downsize in that market while upsizing in other markets. And one of the things that they shared with us is by using the talent intelligence platform, they were able to save over $1.5 million every week in terms of redeployment costs, right? So in terms of separation costs within their portfolio. So that's a tangible example, right? Where having done this definition of basically skills, understanding what skills are across the different job families, creating mobility resulted in basically them being able to redeploy talent across the entire portfolio. That's the sort of, I think, benefit that comes from making investment in the talent intelligence category broadly.
I think there's no way company in the world today that doesn't face this challenge of redeploying. Something's coming up. Here's a pandemic. Here's a change in the business. Here is a political situation in the region. Every time there's something, and we must act as organizations, right? And as individuals, of course.
Yeah. Now, we discussed about unleashing the potential. You draw the scenarios of redeploying. And basically, it's the mindset of look internally first, because many times you have the answer within your organization. But still, we know that this is big transformation, and it's not only the technicality behind it, it's a cultural shift. how the organization is less structured, less organized, more fluid, more transparent. And this requires a lot of leadership attention. How do you see the leader role in the transformation, in this shift?
I think the general instinct at a lot of companies is that this should be a broad HR initiative and it should be driven, led completely by HR, right? And what I have seen in my experience working with HR leaders, the ones that are successful actually have basically partners within the business that actually co-own this initiative, right? So in a lot of ways, we've seen situations where basically a business leader that was also responsible for a particular business outcome partnered with HR, defined the actual sort of outcome metric that they want to see within the company that this technology will allow to happen, right? Like, for example, the redeployment scenario that I just described. That's a great example where the business owner was actually had a seat at the table in the design of the actual technology, implemented it as the first basically customer of the technology, and then also co-owned the actual outcome at the company, right? That is in my mind what it takes to actually achieve this versus a broad initiative where you first build it and then you find the customers for the technology.
So we discussed, I think, the technology. We discussed about the cultural aspect of it. It's not just a technological advancement. It's really a transformation for companies. Do you have a success story of a company that they really implemented this skill-based approach? And what lesson do you think a listener can take away from this company?
Yeah, so going back to my telecommunications company example that I just provided, the one that's in Europe, one of the decisions that they made very early on is that they decided that they didn't want the technology to solve the problem of mapping out every skill of every individual within the company. What they did is they focused on a small set of skills that were unique to their business, that were very important across the customer base, that they also thought would be transferable skills between these job families. They mapped them out and made it very tractable, right? So you could count on the fingers of your hands, the number of skills per role that they actually considered. And that decision was the key in actually unlocking the talent, right? Because a small set of valuable skills, by focusing on those, they were easily able to identify who across the entire population of their employee base actually had these skills. And then they focused on really understanding the depth of these skills, right? So yeah, sometimes I would say that a fewer things done better, you know, can translate into a more impactful outcome. And that's sort of how they got to the massive savings that I just described earlier on in the discussion.
And maybe sometimes it's the small anecdotes or small success stories. Do you have an example of where the AI helped to uncover hidden talent or unique talent in a really unexpected way?
Yeah, so this is a unique example to how we at 8Fold have actually hired, right? So we're a relatively small company at this point, right? We have just shy of 800 employees. But when we were starting out, we were always looking at talent that had transferable skills, right? So solution engineering is an example of a role which requires a lot of customer interaction. It requires basically the ability to present. It requires the ability to connect. And actually, one of the initial solution engineers we hired at the company had no background in solution engineering. He was actually a sommelier, right? Now, you might look at that and say, well, a sommelier doing solution engineering, that seems like a very, you know, abrupt career transition. But if you start to look at the actual skills of a sommelier, right? It is someone that absolutely understands wine. So there's like, you know, the ability to understand, you know, the depth of the product, right? Which comes from that. But then it's also the ability to present the qualities of the product, right? The ability to connect with the individual on the other side. And these were some transferable skills that we found in one of the employees that we brought together. And maybe you've interacted with this person, right? Because he's, you know, located in Europe as well. But he is an example of a great hire with transferable skills that, you know, we have made using our own homegrown technology here.
Interesting. So, apropos sommelier, the World Economic Forum just published a report with some of the roles that are going to disappear in the next few years. And I assume that there are some skills that will disappear with it, but some will appear. So do you have like an insight into the future of like this skill or the X factor skill that you believe will be like a group of maybe skills or one that will take us into the future in the next few years?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say if I just start out at a theoretical perspective, right, any skills that have human interaction with them, I think are going to become much more valuable. And so in the world of tech, we are obviously paying attention to all of the developments that are happening around us. So obviously, generative AI technology that can basically write code, generative AI that can produce products, generative AI that can effectively create solutions for customers much, much faster. But I honestly think that the ability to connect with people is going to be the constant, right? So skills that, and I think the solution engineer that I just described, right? Being able to present to a human the key selling points of a particular piece of software, I think that's a very difficult thing for basically AI to actually achieve. So maybe in the future, right, 5 years from now or a couple of years from now, I would be proven wrong on that. But that's an example that I actually see within the technology domain that I operate in. Now, speaking of HR, one of the things that I actually see happening is that some of the specializations that we have built right over the course of the last few decades, right? HR is an area where there's a lot of human specialization, right? Large corporations have many different roles that manage complex things within HR, right? Sometimes you will have people that run a very small segment of a particular workflow. Like, for example, you may have recruiting coordinators whose only job it is to schedule interviews. At times you may have, you know, immigration specialists whose only job is to understand the, you know, basically how to bring in talent that is, you know, outside of the country that you operate in. I think some of these specializations are going to disappear, and you will see scenarios where HR becomes much more akin to the way that it is run at smaller companies, right? Where you have generalists that have the tools where they can achieve all these specializations and basically do it at scale, right? So that's sort of what I believe is likely to happen. But again, nobody has a crystal ball here. A lot of this is playing out in real time.
Sachit, maybe the last one. I consider you really as a top-notch expert. So maybe can you give us or the audience one actionable piece of advice to organizations that really are considering now to get into this skill-based approach?
Yeah. So what I would say, first of all, thank you for saying that. I honestly believe that the boil the ocean strategy, which comes naturally, right, in the situation of a technological transformation, like it takes to actually build a skills-based organization, that's actually the wrong instinct, right? You should always start from the problem first and find the right partner within the business that can basically co-own the solution, similar to what I described earlier. That approach of basically solving a specific problem of the company that's material to the company's success is the starting point that I would actually recommend to broadly to folks that are considering going down this path. While defining that in a precise fashion, then you can basically test the theory of, is the technology actually going to solve that problem? So I see a lot of scenarios where the technology first approach can result in wild expectations that are then very difficult to actually achieve in practice. So the solving the precise problem first is the approach that I would recommend to your audience.
I think that we are in an innovative landscape. This is all new. And as you said, be focused. Progress over perfection, start small and grow. This is how we experience also our amazing journey with you together, Sachit. So thank you for this advice.
And thank you for all your partnership in the last few years. It's been great to be a part of the journey with you.
Thank you, my friend. This has been very insightful, and we are looking into disruptions in organization, and this is definitely one of them. So thank you for focusing us on it and giving us some insight into what happened already and what will come. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Sachit, thank you so much.
Just a minute. Live amazing, do amazing. Live amazing, do amazing.